Greetings, everyone. This is Keith and Karina coming to you once again from the great state of Pennsylvania. We want to continue on our series of Walking in Unity, and this will be our final part, I believe, in part four. And so we want to kind of pick up where we left off in part three and talk about some of the things that I mentioned there toward the end about conflict resolution, different gifts according to the grace that's given us, and some of the things that, you know, that cause, you know, disunity because of being out of place or maybe not even being mature enough to be able to wait until God's timing for his promotion. So there's a lot of things, you know, that can cause disunity, and those are some of the things we haven't really gotten into. But of course, before we get into these things, as is my custom, I like to introduce my sweetheart, my wonderful, amazing, beautiful wife, Miss Norca Karina.
Hi, everyone. Once again, what a great introduction. Praise God for this time. Praise God for this topic. We know that good things have happened and will continue to happen in the heart of the believer. We know that the Holy Spirit is transforming us because as we learn the truth and our mind is renewed, we become more and more like Jesus. And our walk is different, our level of faith is different, and most definitely our expectation of what the day will bring is also different. So we have been talking about this, about walking with the Holy Spirit, walking in unity. And I say with the Holy Spirit because it's not possible to walk in unity without the Holy Spirit, as we already have spoken. It's a great topic. And the best thing is that we're going to continue to learn. So let's all be alert and let the Holy Spirit shine as he does the truth of the Lord into our heart.
Amen. That's so well put, sweetheart, because we do depend on the Holy Spirit to speak through us as we pray before each podcast for him to descend upon us, to manifest Amen. Himself and speak Amen. Through us. Because, you know, what is it that we can offer except disinformation? Things that we know, but yet when the Holy Spirit breathes on it, it puts life into it.
That's right.
And even gives us things that we never maybe thought of in a mm-hmm. certain way. And revelation even comes to us. We're blessed by the things
Very blessed.
That he gives us. So with that being said, I want to open up this podcast with a question to our listeners. And, you know, sometimes I find it's one of the ways, and it's one of the suggestions that you gave, you know, me, sweetheart, when we started this, all these podcasts from the very beginning, is about asking questions and making certain points and coming back to these things. And this question I want to ask is this, you know, this first question here is unity always agreement?
That's a good question.
And sometimes we hear people say, you know, we need unity in the church because there's so much, you know, there's so much differing opinions and beliefs about some of the things that's being taught from the pulpit or whatever it might be, you know, arguments and dissension and strife going on. So, you know, when I see that happening oftentimes, you know, when they come up and start talking about we need unity, we need unity, we need unity, it's usually because there's a lot of strife going on.
Right.
And so I think, you know, and I'm not saying this is always the case because I'm not in every church in America or around the world, but just in my 61 years, you know, in my limited observation, is what I see in that is, you know, how do they try to solve that problem? And I think the way they try to solve that problem for the most part is, well, let's just, you know, submit to the authority and come into agreement with what is being taught, you know, agree with us. And yet, we know that's not always going to happen, you know, because mm-hmm. we know that sometimes we just know what we believe and we're not going to change. And that doesn't necessarily mean we're wrong because we don't come into agreement with them. But what does it mean to walk in unity when those things happen?
You know, I have to think of my father at this time because there is something that he always repeats. And when there is a diversity of opinions, a diversity of likes, you know, he says it, of course, he says it in Spanish, but He says, look at my hand. He puts up his hand. He goes, look at my hand. Look at my hand. How many fingers are in my hand? He says, and of course, we answer 5. And he says, and are they all alike? And we say, no, because we have all different sizes and uses. And then he says, that's how it is with the world. You know, one hand, different fingers, but it's one hand. That's why the world is a world, he goes in Spanish. It's really cute. So as you're talking about this and the diversity, being in unity does not mean that we always have to be in agreement. However, I do believe that there are, let's kind of classify it, right? We're talking about being children of God. First of all, we're talking about us Christians, right? And when I say Christians, I don't mean everyone who's created by God, because that would mean the whole planet. I'm talking about those of us who have given our heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore we are children of God, and we are in a covenant with Him. So in order for us to be united with one another, as we mentioned before with Psalm 133, how wonderful it is, the Word of God says, for brethren's, for brothers, that means in Jesus Christ, to dwell together. And then it states that there is a blessing that God pours out into that kind of unity. First, we have to be very realistic that there are non-negotiables. For example, in order for us Christians to be united, we can have varied opinions about different topics, but we definitely have to be united in a sound doctrine, in the truth. For example, we have to, yes, we do have to agree that there is one God. Yes, we do have to agree that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that He is God. Yes, we do have to agree that He came to the cross and died for our sins, you know, and so on. There are some things that we cannot say, well, if that's your opinion, I mean, if you want to say that Jesus is just a prophet, okay, well, that, you know what, everybody has their own truth. No, no, no. As Christians, we do have to agree on the essential non-negotiables. We do have to agree that the Bible is the Word of God. We cannot be in unity if you are preaching a different gospel, because at the end of the day, there's only one gospel. So we have to be in full agreement in terms of the gospel. So those are things that, yes, we do have to always agree. However, we may have a diversity with other things. For example, some people may say, well, I don't think that in order for you to be baptized, you have to be fully underwater. I think with you know, just a little sprinkling of water, that's something different. And that's debatable. But in terms of the essential, the things that as it is, makes Jesus Christ the head. If we are not agreeing that Jesus Christ is the head and that we are one body, then there is no unity. No matter how much we try and how many times we come together into one location physically and how many hugs we share and how many smiles and cups of coffee we drink together, we have to be united as a body of Christ. And the only way is to truly, truly honor our head, and that is Jesus Christ.
Amen, sweetheart. That's so good. And I'm glad that you're contributing a lot here tonight. And it's something, you know, I mentioned before the podcast that I wanted you to speak more. You have a lot of good things to say. God really speaks through you a lot. And I love listening to a lot of the things that God gives you. So, amen. You know, with that being said is, you know, I want you to continue to do that, you know, in our podcast. And I want to pose a second question, you know. It's maybe in a different vein, because really what was spoken right here is our foundation.
Right.
You know, and without the foundation of the Word, and as you said, non-negotiables, obviously, you know, to us, you and I, and maybe some of our listeners, they know those things clearly are non-negotiables, but not everybody understands that. And it's so good that you explained that.
Right.
Because unity does not necessarily mean, you know, agreeing on the wrong things.
That's right.
Because some people, you know, there's millions of people out there agreeing with the wrong stuff. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't please God, because it's not unity built upon His word and His will. So it's important for the listeners to know that we're talking about the foundation of unity on God's word, the Bible, the truth of who Jesus Christ is and what He came to do.
That's right.
And so having established that, then we can build upon that foundation.
Exactly.
And so some of the other things that we want to talk about in this this final podcast of this series is the fact of what are other things that cause disunity in the church or in the body of Christ? Because, you know, we're talking to Christians here, and of course there may be people who aren't saved and not Christian and are listening and, you know, considering these things about whether these things are true and whether they should accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And we do make that, you know, that appeal at the end of every one of our podcasts. But before we were even to get to that, we want to talk to the Christians. You know, what is it that causes us to be able to walk in unity? You know, one interesting thing that Jesus said was that what would cause the world to know that we were His disciples? Mm-hmm. He said, because we have love for one another.
Right.
And, I mean, I'm sure He had a whole lot more behind what He said than just those words alone. And I think, you know, if we really dug deep into that thing about what it means to walk in love, we can uncover a treasure trove of truths from God's word and be blessed. And but we're not going to go in that vein right now, because that's not the topic of the series. But what we want to talk about is some of these other things as well that go along with love, because we did lay that as part of the foundation from the beginning of this series of the podcast, that unity has to be built upon love. You know,
that's right.
In the Christian faith, we have to love one another, because if we don't love them, then we're not going to consider what's best for them. We're only going to be thinking what's best for us. And that's where self-centeredness comes in and pride comes in, because, you know, we're always thinking about how somebody's doing us wrong, or how, you know, the other people are mistreating us and all that type of thing. And that lends itself to, as you said, you know, I think in the previous podcast was that, you know, people looking at other people, I'm going to paraphrase, you know, with suspicion, like, well, they're not treating me right. Well, you know, mm-hmm. They're not doing me right. So we would always be suspicious of others, you know, their motives. But yet, as the love chapter says, most people know what we're talking about here, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that love does not puff itself up. Love is not easily provoked. Love is kind. Love is patient. It doesn't keep a number of wrongs. It is patient. Love is the perfect, you know, fruit of the Spirit, the first one on the list. And if we get that right, then we can build upon that, you know. But with that being said, is when people don't know how to walk in love, it's a lot of times because they don't understand what love really is. They believe love is a feeling. Well, if it's love is a feeling, then what happens when the, you know, romance goes away in a marriage, or that initial infatuation and the honeymoon phase goes away and you start feeling normal, as you might say again, then what is love then? As I heard somebody say a number of years ago, love is a decision.
That's true.
We decide to love, you know, and, you know, we have family members, we have children and things of that nature. And, you know, we don't always feel this good feeling, you know, for them all the time, mm-hmm. You know, especially when a child is doing something bad, you know, you might feel angry, but yet we still love them.
That's true.
And we still are committed to them. And like you said about being intentional, you know, we're not saying, okay, you're not my child no more and I'm disowning you and you can get out.
No.
You don't throw out a 5-year-old child because he has a temper tantrum.
That's right.
Or even a 15-year-old. You know, I mean, they have to go to some real extreme measures for some things like that to happen. But you know what? If we basically generally raise our children the right way, you know, they're going to make mistakes, but yet they're going to see that, hey, mom and dad knows. Mm-hmm. And they know that their correction is right. And they will accept that. Because I look back on the correction I got. You know, of course, some of it was, you know, faulty. But for the most part, it kept me on the straight and narrow path. It kept me, you know, because the fear of my dad whipping my behind kept me out of a lot of trouble. So I'm thankful for that. You know, I'm very thankful for that. So, you know, in somebody might say, what in the world is he talking about? What's this got to do with the subject of walking in unity? Well, conformity to some degree is good. Not always, not conformity in the wrong way. You know, where the scripture says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed through the renewing of your mind. But it says that we're to be conformed to the image of Christ.
That's true.
And the image of Christ is, how is it reflected? How is it taught? It's taught through the Word. The Word talks about the fruits of the Spirit. It talks about the gifts of the Spirit. It talks about the works of the flesh. It talks about basically every form of conduct that a Christian is supposed to, you know, learn. And as we learn the Word, we learn what pleases God and how we're to live and pattern ourselves after that and put away, you know, as Paul would say in some of his writings, you know, put away the sinful deeds of the flesh and walk according to the Spirit. Well, it has to be intentional to do that, just as it is intentional to have to be intentional to walk in unity. So with that being said, you know, like I said, in some of these questions that I want to ask, there's a couple more here. Let me go to, if my sweetheart can cover me while I'm trying to look this up.
Well, as you were talking about what are some of the things that can cause division, for example, let's specifically aim in the congregation. You know, it's so important to remember that in a congregation we have people who are in a different levels of maturity, different levels of passion for the Lord, different levels of understanding of faith, and so on, of course, as we use that example with the first grade and the 10th grade and all that. And we do understand that there is a growth process. And there is, even though there seems to be a disparity in terms of level, different levels of maturity and all that, but that doesn't justify the person who is divisive. And I bring that up once again. We did mention that, I think it was yesterday, the word says in Titus 3 that warn a divisive person once and then warn them a second time after that, have nothing to do with them. And I say it again because, well, let me just say this. I remember specifically I had an experience where for more than, I'm going to say more than 5 years, I was trying through counseling, prayer, conversation to speak to this one person who was very divisive in her ways in the congregation. And she just had a certain level of influence over the newcomers that was very concerning. And, you know, after trying for so many years, this person, whenever she would input her opinion, it wasn't because she had the good of the whole congregation as her goal. She just needed herself to be gratified and to shine. So she really wasn't in unity. She was a physically a part of the congregation, but she wasn't in unity. She wasn't working towards the same goal. She wasn't allowing the Lord Jesus Christ to be the head. She wanted to be the head. So I'm saying that because we want to differentiate what it is to be in unity. It's not just a physical togetherness, but it's that singing one same song, you know. And some people may have better voices than others, but you're still singing the same song. But when somebody comes along and is trying to sing their own song, that is not going to work. That is not going to work. And of course, that's just an example. And I think it's a good practical example. You know, we're all singing one same song. We know the lyrics, you know, and some people sing different notes, and some are better singers, which are going to represent the people who are in different levels of maturity, different gifts, different talents, but we're all singing one same song, which is to exalt Jesus and glorify him, and what's being done is being done for his glory. But then when somebody else comes and says, No, I want to be part of this congregation, but I want to sing this song. As a matter of fact, not only do I want to sing this song, I want you guys to sing the song I'm singing. Then that's not unity. And one has to be very careful, be very compassionate, be very patient, right? And just try as much as possible through prayer, through fasting, through counseling, through love, through all of that to bring that person into the unity of the body that's already there where Christ is the head. But if after trying so much, it does not work, then you really need to seek the counsel of the Holy Spirit and see if it is time to ask this person in a loving way, to please exit himself or herself from the congregation. And, you know, hopefully it's something very, very nice, which the person can just do by himself or herself. But sometimes if it doesn't happen like that, you may have to just get your elders together and your pastors and just have the person leave. And I can tell you by experience, when this person left, because I'm sharing something that happened in my personal experience, when this person left the congregation because she was asked to leave, what a difference. What a difference. So unity, once again, is singing the same song and giving the glory to the Lord.
Amen, sweetheart. That's a good way to put it. And maybe for some of those people who are listening who don't get what we're talking about, we're not talking about singing a literal song.
No.
We're talking about purpose.
Right.
You know, and sometimes what I see an issue or the issue in regard to what we're talking about here is people can come into a ministry and not really think about what is the vision that God gave to the founder of this ministry. What is the direction that God's purpose is for that ministry? And you know what? Some people don't seem to understand that God doesn't give everybody the same vision. You know, what that person may have or another person may have had as a vision from God for ministry may be something that God's called them to do, but yet it's not time for that to come to fruition yet. And so while they're in a ministry working, they're trying to get their vision to come to pass. And yet, or they think that every ministry is supposed to have their vision. I'm going to give it a couple examples. You know, some people have an evangelistic leaning because God's called him to become an evangelist, you know, to win souls, to convert people to Christ, you know, to bring them into the kingdom of God. But maybe somebody else has a different kind of ministry. They have like a teaching ministry like I have. It's primarily designed and purposed to the Christian believer to help develop them in their faith. So I don't have the leaning that strong toward evangelism. Mm-hmm. Because that's not my calling. I'm called to be a Bible teacher to the church.
It doesn't mean that you don't do it.
Right.
You do it, but it's not your strong leaning.
Right. But in terms of that, it's just kind of like you go to an auto repair shop, you know. You go there to get your brakes fixed. You're not going to a transmission shop to get that done.
Right.
You know, even though they may have some knowledge and skills in other areas, but when they specialize in that area, then that's what they're there for. You take it to a place, most likely, who specializes in an area. You take it to a shop that specializes in brakes. But you might say, what's this got to do with the Christian faith? We're all supposed to come into unity of the faith. But yet, different churches have different missions. Some have more of an outreach to the local community and the church. And some churches, you know, far be it from people to think that this is true, but it is, that some churches are called to go international, to have an international platform and to reach nations. And that's their platform, is to teach the word of God designed to go to the nations. So they're not going to have as strong as a local outreach as they would to an international outreach. So for one church to say, well, you're supposed to be doing this, or you're supposed to be doing that, or why do you have a daycare, you know, attached to your ministry, or a food bank? What, you know, let other people do that. If God's called up ministry to that,
right,
that's their vision. That's their song.
Exactly. Exactly.
As you put it, you know. And so, you know, but it can apply to many different things. You know, these are just a few examples, you know, from our experiences. And when people come into a ministry and they say, well, you should be doing it this way and this way and this way and that way, you know, sometimes maybe they have good advice. But even if so, is they still have to learn to submit. Because when I was in the military, there's a strong structure of submission to authority. And if you violate that in terms of what they call lawful orders, then you'll come under a punitive action, legal punitive action, and it could be bad for your career, you know. So they don't play with that, because the fact is when you're in wartime situations, they don't have time for people sitting around arguing with the bosses about, you know, the leaders of what we're going to do. We got to act and act decisively to take action. You know, that don't mean all leaders, you know, in battle or combat have all done everything perfectly, but they have to have structure and organization, and they have to be willing to follow that. So it could be that some people come into it and they got great talents, they got great abilities, and yet they're like a fish out of water. What are they doing here? You know, you have a person in your ministry, in our ministry here now, that is a lawyer.
That's correct. Right?
And is doing some of the most basic menial things, but yet she has such a heart of humility and kindness. And it's just like, this is amazing to see that, because most people, many I've seen in my lifetime, oh, that's too far beneath them to be able to, beneath their dignity to do something like that. But because she came from another country and all that, I don't know the whole background, but the point is she's demonstrated probably more humility than anybody I've ever seen that had a degree in law degree, right? And I know God's going to promote her. God's going to bless her mightily and her family. And this is probably just a stepping stone for her that God is using here, right, since she's come to this country.
Well, and that's important that you mentioned that, because, for example, yes, there is a variety of gifts, and God, you know, gives us different callings. But I am 100% sure that the Holy Spirit would never encourage or inspire someone that has a different calling to go into an existing congregation, the body of Christ, and attempt to destroy it, to come with destructive thoughts and actions. And you know what? And the sad thing was that at the end of the day, the Holy Spirit did expose and show that her heart just was not right, because unfortunately, you know, some things in her life just weren't under the submission of the Holy Spirit. So there is sometimes people that come with this rebellion and they just want to be exalted. So, but the point is, yes, we have to learn to submit, but the Holy Spirit is one. The Holy Spirit is one. And whether you are not the right fit, I'm going to say, for that calling in that congregation, the Holy Spirit will always bring you in peace and in love. And as you exit, it will be in peace and in love.
Well, yeah,
it'll never be with that strife. You know,
I definitely would agree with that. You know, for the most part, because sometimes the flip side could be true too. They could come in with that, and there's people who like, we're just set in our ways, and God is speaking to them to change, and they're not willing to make the change as well.
Absolutely.
And also, what you're not saying here, you know, for the people who are listening, is when you said that person, we're not talking about the last person we were talking about, which is the lawyer. She's a great woman of God,
oh,
you know.
Definitely.
We're talking about the one previously you're talking about who had yes. been asked to leave the congregation. I want to make that clear.
Correct.
Because, we didn't make that change in direction who we were talking about. But, yes, so personality conflicts come and arise because of pride and selfishness and selfish ambition. So, yes, there are many of that cases happening, you know, coming in like, well, you should do it this way, and that way, or whatever, and I want to have my way, because they have a dominant spirit. They have a domineering spirit. They want to be in control. They have a manipulative spirit.
The spirit of Jezebel.
And witchcraft, basically what it is, right? Because that's what the spirit of Jezebel was all about, you know. And
I want to interject a moment and just say that it's so important in part as part of our submission for us to, you know, once I know it sounds so basic and repetitive, but we have to be submitted to the Holy Spirit. For example, I know this one person who, she could not sing. She could not hold a note at all. I mean, she could not sing. And she insisted. That's what she wanted to do. She wanted to sing, not just from her chair, but she wanted to sing, be part of the worship team and sing with the microphone. And she could not sing, you know. And I think it's so good for us as Christians to listen to what the Holy Spirit is doing inside of us and what are the gifts and the talents that he has given us. Because I also believe that sometimes that's one reason why there is a certain level of division, because once again, a lack of love, a lack of submission, of obedience, because this is what I want to do. But when you are told, but that's not your gift. And then, you know, in that specific example, some people say, well, but I just want to sing and I just want to sing for the Lord and he knows my heart. But we don't take that same principle with other things in our life. You know, when you get on an airplane, you're truly expecting that that pilot doesn't just have a heart, that he wants to be a pilot. You are certainly hoping that that pilot knows how to fly that airplane, the same as a heart surgeon. You wouldn't just put yourself in the hands of someone who would like to be a heart surgeon and has a passion, a desire to be a heart surgeon, but you definitely want to get the best. So the same thing, you know, and we encourage our listeners, everybody has strengths. What has God given you? Don't try to create something and impose something that is not what God has called you to do just because you feel that you're attracted to that or it has some kind of visibility that you enjoy.
That's so good, sweetheart, because, you know, with one point, there's always another angle on it, because the fact is, you know, some people are not getting promoted because of their inability to wait patiently until the time comes for their promotion. That doesn't mean their gift is not ready. It just means they may not be ready.
That's true.
Ready. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, there are some people who want to be something they're not called to be. You know, there's a lot of people wanting to play for the Chicago Bulls and have Michael Jordan sit down. And they get up there and play, but yet they wouldn't have won no championships,
right?
Because he was the guy to get the job done. And so the coach and them, they know that. So that's another part of it is unrealistic expectations, you know, that I have a gift to do something when they don't have the gift
they
to do that.
They don't have the gift, and they won't listen to anyone else.
And so, you know, there's a whole lot of things that can come into this thing about unity. But yet, you know, we don't want to continue on. I just feel like we should come to a close on this series because there's, you know, we can go on and on and on about it. But the main thing we're here talking about is understanding the importance of walking in unity. So if I don't agree with you and I know you're the head and I'm not the head, then I need to understand I'm the one that needs to submit, you know, under the leadership. And that's a part of unity, is learning to submit to authority. We do that in our government, right? We do that with the police. When they turn on the blue light and they're behind us, we got to pull over.
That's
it doesn't matter if I was speeding or not. They're in authority, and I have to submit to that authority. Otherwise, forget it. I'm going to keep driving. Guess what? They're going to have 10 more cars coming after me, and I'm going to jail.
Yes.
Right? So we have that system in the world that we live in, and so it's no different in the spiritual realm. You know, God expects us to submit to authority, and he also expects us to be patient and wait for our time, because there's a scripture in the Old Testament that talks about that, God's, where it says that a person's gift will make room for them.
Mm-hmm.
But when? At the proper time.
Right.
When God sees that we're ready. That's why he says to humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time.
And just quickly, it does not mean that we cannot address the people that are our authority, because what comes to mind is with our the beautiful story of Samuel, how he received the word from God, actually, to go to his authority, to Eli, and share this word, what God had spoken. But God will always back up what comes from him. And so we are obedient, and we do what God wants us to do in love and obedience and submission, and God will take care of the rest.
Absolutely. You know, and like I said, it comes down from a heart of wanting to walk in unity, because if you don't want to walk in it, you're most likely you're not going
to. That's true.
So we're going to end this broadcast here. And of course, we want to, before we end it, we want to extend the invitation for those who don't know the Lord to come into salvation so they can enter into heaven and be a part of the family of God. So, sweetheart, take it from
me. The word of God says that you and I are separated from God because of sin, but God made a way. And I'm going to say that again. God made a way. Now, listen, I said a way, not many ways. And the way is Jesus Christ. And what did he do? He came. He came from heaven to earth to die on the cross for you and for me. You know why? Because he loves you so much. And what does he ask you? He asks you to give him your heart, and in exchange, he will give you his righteousness. That means that he will forgive your sins, and you will then be reconciled with the Father. What an amazing offer of love.
Amen.
So we're asking you to really seriously consider that and do that today, because you will then know that you have also become a part of the family of God.
Amen. So we want to extend this invitation to you to continue to listen to our podcast, because I believe, you know, you will be blessed as we will, you know, and the next series is going to be awesome. And I'm not going to tell you what it is yet, because we want it to be a surprise. So God bless. Okay. And we thank everybody for listening.
Bye.
Bye-bye.